that are extended over space, you immediately see that there can be conflicts or tensions, let me better say, with relativity. So in particular, suppose that you have a particle whose wave function is extended. Now, the momentum is the momentum depends on the shape of the wave function everywhere. And suppose that this particle will interact with another one that is localized. Now, the momentum, the total momentum, is a conserved quantity. They exchange momentum, but how is the local particle to know what is happening and what it needs to exchange, since it has access only to one part of the wave function of the other particle? And okay, starting with this general idea, you may see that interesting effects may appear when you really look for the conserved quantities. And this, in fact, appear already at the level of non-relativistic quantum mechanics, and they also propagate into relativistic one. So what I'm going to do today is to present one small paradox that in fact was due to Dicke, and look at it in a completely different way. So here's the problem. You have a box, and you have a particle in this box, say an electron, whatever, in the ground state of the box. Now you shine photons on the left side of the box, many of them. If the electron is there, the photons will scatter. If the photons do not scatter, it means the electron was not there. So let me suppose that I send these photons, and it so happened that they did not scatter. Well, what can I say about the electron? I know for sure it is not on the left. So it is on the right. So it means that its wave function now collapsed to this thing. Well, so far so good. The question is now, what happened with the energy of the electron? Okay, now the electron is no longer in the ground state. It means it is some superposition of ground and excited and so on. So its energy increased. But how did the energy increase? Because the photons that just came and went through did not scatter. They did not touch the electron. So there are two things here. One of them, how comes that the energy of the electron is increased? And where does that energy come from, since the photons did not scatter? Now, I knew about this problem for a long time from Yakira Haronov. And what we discussed during that time is that, in fact, there are two different phenomena that come here. One phenomena is purely local, the other one is purely non-local. And this is a type of non-locality that is completely different from the usual Bell-type non-locality, or EPR. This is what I would like to call dynamical non-locality, and this is what is behind Aronov-Bohm effect and all the other things. So we did not do anything with this problem for a long time, but now I started to look at it again. So this is together with Yakir Aronov and my students here, Ralph Silva and Yelena Gurianova. So, do you have any guess of what happens? How does the electron gain energy? That is, yes?
From the box.
From the box. Okay. Can you elaborate that?
Well, when an electron goes to a dump, it can also acquire momentum.
But in this case, the electron was sitting here very nicely, and there were just some photons coming there. They did not scatter, they did not touch the electron. Nevertheless, the electron is now localized here, and it has an increased thing.
Ah. The Betjeman interaction doesn't commute with the Hamiltonian of the system. So it's maybe not so surprising that it should change its energy.
Obvious. But you need to find out a particular mechanism that did it. And that is the interesting thing. Okay. Right, of course, things did not commute. That is part of it. But let's try to understand. So my basic claims here will be that there are two completely different aspects from here. So one is local. That happens with probability almost zero. And this is a responsible for change of average energy. And then there is another one that is non-local, that happens with probability almost one, and that is responsible for the complete redistribution of the probabilities, for redistribution of energy spectrum, but does not change the average energy. Okay? So, roughly speaking, the average energy, as I will show, happens exactly if it happens to catch the electron right in the middle, and the photons that went barely touch the electron. That happens with almost zero probability, but if it happens, the electron receives enormous energy. And that is what is responsible for the change in average. At the same time, if you look now at this wave function and you try to expand it in energy eigenstates of the box, now it's a completely different thing. So there is a major change, which is not a change that occurred with almost zero probability. But this change is due to a non-local effect. Okay, let me start being a little bit more detailed about this. So first of all, I discuss here that I send a bunch of photons to scatter. So in case the electron is here, they collide very strongly with the electrons. Well, that is the dramatic way of putting it, but we don't need to be so violent with it. So there is a much better way that contains already the whole aspects of the problem. Suppose I put here a spin in the state up in the z direction. I couple an interaction between the spin and the electron, such as if the electron is on the left side, the spin will flip. If the electron is on the right side, the spin will remain. So in this case, I just identify which part the electron is, but apart from that, I will not give a supplementary disturbance as if it was that of collision. So what would be the Hamiltonian there? Well, the Hamiltonian would be p squared over 2m plus v of x that, let's say, the box that describes the walls of the box. And now I need to couple the electron being on the left side with a spin. So that would be, let's say, something like this. Let me take a function u of x times sigma x, where u of x is something that is one in the left side of the box and zero here. So if the electron is on the left side, if you wish, this is the projector on the left side. This is value 1 and value 0 there. So what does it do? If the electron is on the right side, this term doesn't exist. If the electron is on the left side, this is 1, and the spin sees a sigma x, which simply rotates the spin. And I will let this interaction work as long, well, I can take it here, plus a delta of t. I want the interaction to occur at time 0, and I need to add here some constant, probably pi or pi over 2, that ensures that in a very short time, if the electron was there, the spin flipped completely. Okay. Now, the first thing I want to tell you is that in the middle, there is a force that acts from right to left or the other way. So, even though in the first example we sent photons here, or in this instance I just put a spin there, here in the middle region there exists a force. Okay? Let's see if we can identify that from the Hamiltonian. Well, let's take a look at the interaction term. Let's take a look what the particle experiences. Suppose, for example, to simplify the thing, instead of starting with the spin up z, I will start with a spin polarized along x. In that case, here I have u of x, pi delta t. So there is a potential like this, multiplied by pi. This is if the state was up x. If the state was down x, here I have pi delta t u of x and a minus sign in front, because sigma x acting on down. So in one case, I have a potential that is positive here and goes down. In the other case, this would be for up x, and from down x I have a potential like this. That is, say, minus 1 in units of pi and 0 here. Now, take a look. This is a potential that is high here and low there. So here the potential changes. It means that there is a force acting on the particle. In a similar way, the potential changes here. So in my original problem, what happens is that I have a force that acts either in superposition of right and left, depending on the spin. So there is essentially an uncertain potential, if you look here on the left. And that means that if I look and I want to decompose this thing, the state psi, I want to write as psi left plus psi right. By now, essentially, this potential would mean that I may get this, or I may get psi left minus psi right, and in fact, this phase will be undetermined. In other words, the particle decoheres left and right, which you could see if you would just say that you start with psi left plus psi right, and the spin up z, and this goes into psi left down plus psi right up. So this particle is entangled with a spin, which is another way of saying that you'll see no interference. And another way of saying that you see no interference is that the phase is randomized. Okay, so far so good. So in fact, we obtain a density matrix, which is sometimes I get left, sometimes I get right. Or in another way to see, sometimes I get the ground state, sometimes I get psi left minus psi right. So in fact, the entire game is in obtaining this thing, psi left minus psi right. Okay. So let me simplify the problem. Instead of taking a random potential, just let's follow one of them. Suppose this one. It is enough in order to modify the phase, and that will see completely the phenomenon. So let me do the following thing. I need to put a potential that is uniform on one side, uniform on the other side. The potential here in the middle drops dramatically, so that's a pathological thing. I would like, for example, to make it smoother somehow. Now, here it's another object that you may imagine that puts a potential difference between the two things that is easier to visualize. And that is a capacitor. If I have a capacitor with plane waves, a plane with plane faces, and I charge it, then I know that the potential has this form. So the idea is, let me take my box here with my particle in the ground state, and let me insert in the middle a capacitor. And let me charge this capacitor. So the capacitor will essentially simulate what happens if it was up x. I leave it for a certain time, and that is what will be enough in order to produce this phase difference. If I understand what happens when I make a phase difference, I can go back to the spins, and the rest is pretty trivial. Okay, I took some specific distance between the two plates of the capacitor because now the problem is no longer pathological and I can start seeing what is happening over there. I will then go to the limit when I take the plates to come very close to each other. Okay, so here are two things. I would like to decompose, by the way, do you see this part or it's covered?
Upstairs.
Upstairs you can see? Good, all right. So I would like to decompose this wave function into three pieces. One piece is here, and it goes down to zero in that part. Another piece is here. And I will call this one phi left, I will call this one phi right, and there would be a middle piece, which is the difference of the two, which would be something like that. Okay. I take them quite smooth. Again, I will go to zero in the end. Now, the difference is that these blue ones, phi left and phi right, do not enter inside the capacitor. The red one, which I will call phi middle, enters the region. So I would like to see what is the effect of putting a capacitor on these things. And the claim is like that. First of all, phi middle has a piece that enters inside the capacitor. I will take phi middle, you know, to be almost inside, but I don't want to take it strictly inside, just not to have a pathology that I cut it, you know, very sharply. And it will experience a force. Here is the force inside the capacitor. So when I charge the capacitor gives a kick to phi m. Giving a kick to it, it means that it increases its energy. So let me write now the wave function decomposed into these three pieces. So psi is phi left plus phi right plus phi middle. Now the first thing I would like to draw your attention is that phi middle is a small thing here. So they are not normalized. So the normal fine middle is in fact very small. The normal fine middle will go to epsilon. Okay. So the normal fine middle is going to epsilon. I can take it to be very narrow here around the capacitor. Now here's something interesting. I would like everything to go to zero, so I would like to make the capacitor narrower and narrower. In order to keep the same potential difference would mean that the force, it is stronger, acting for the same time. So it means that it acts stronger on it, so it will increase the energy with something that is proportional to 1 over epsilon. Increase the average energy of that stuff. So it means that that part in the middle, although it goes to probability zero, it carries a lot of average energy. In fact, energy, like many other unbounded quantities, is very tricky because the average can be as large as you want by just taking a very small piece of the wave function and sending it very far in energy. So the energy can be adjusted by epsilon changes in the wave function. Good. Now let's see what happens, and this is the interesting part, what happens with phi left, which was phi right. This thing, the norm of this thing is 1 minus epsilon. So this carries a lot of weight. And they want to go to phi left minus phi right. So it's not that nothing happened between these two pieces that are outside the interaction region. They change the phase between them. Because they change the phase, if I would like to describe the energy spectrum of this one and the energy spectrum of that is the probability of having different energies, they would change dramatically. This one, psi left plus psi right, has a very, very big overlap on the ground state. Psi left minus psi right will have, in fact, zero overlap with the ground state and quite considerable overlap with the first excited state. So they change in a dramatic fashion. If I describe here the probability to have a different energy versus the energy in the state psi left plus psi right, I have some energy here around ground state and some other tiny contributions coming. This one is no longer the ground state because I cut out the middle part. And that would be important. So this is psi left plus psi right. Here, energy, the probability to have a given energy is the ground state, zero. It has zero probability to be in the ground state because the function is symmetric and psi left minus psi right is anti-symmetric, so it doesn't overlap. So this one was almost, say, 99.999% and so on, the overlap with the ground state. Because as I make phi middle smaller, the entire, this one, approaches the ground state. So I have an enormous probability of being here. On the other hand, here, I will have all other changes in this wave function. Again, probably, with probability very high, I will come next to the first excited state. Now here's something interesting. If the particle is in this state, there's no force on it whatsoever, because this does not enter the capacitor. So since it doesn't enter the capacitor, and there are no forces acting on it, its average energy cannot change at all. In fact, so the average energy of the plus state must be the same as the average energy of the minus state. In fact, you can see that the average of any power of energy of the plus state must be the same as the average as the power n of the average energy in the minus state. And that I can show for you very easily. And it's the following. So look, for example, what is the average of p squared, of the kinetic energy, which is, well, it is phi left plus, let me put, e to the I alpha phi right, just to look at a phase, complex conjugate, d2 over dx2, phi left plus e to the I plus I alpha phi right dx. Now you see, the phase just appears in the cross terms, phi right with phi left, or phi left with phi right. From phi right, it just drops. But in the cross terms, phi left has zero overlap with phi right. Yeah. Hence, it means that the average of momentum is completely insensitive to the relative phase that I put. And in fact, if you look, the average of any power of momentum, that will just put something like this, and that is still insensitive of the relative phase. The same thing goes for the potential put by the box, which is again insensitive to changing the phase. So changing the phase doesn't change any moment of the energy. All powers, the average of every single power of energy, remains completely unchanged. Nevertheless, I said that the probability distribution of the energy changes dramatically. So it changes dramatically in such a way that all the averages of all the powers of the energy remain unchanged. These two distributions have all the moments the same, nevertheless the two distributions are dramatically different. Okay? So what changes here? Well, there are some quantities that change. And the quantities that change are things like e to the I e t. Okay? That I will leave it as an exercise. It's an interesting one, and a lot of what quantum mechanics has is in fact encoded in the fact that things like this, that are modular variables, so the average of this depends on alpha, while these ones are independent on alpha, e to the n, independent alpha. So the averages change in such a way that this, that I will call modular energy, because they in fact check the energy modulo 2 pi over t, you know, this 2 pi in et, that's it's periodic. So these properties of the probability distribution change, and they change in a non-local fashion. You could imagine a simpler problem in which you have nothing in the middle and only two wave packets sitting out, even at a large distance from the capacitor. And without any forces, the energy spectrum changed. But it changed in such a way that it did not acquire any change in the average energy. And this is, in fact, nothing else than a scalar Aharonov-Bohm effect. So the entire phenomenon is a composite of two things. It's a composite of a local effect due to the particle entering the capacitor, which happens with zero probability. Yes. But it acquires such a big energy that it can account for the change in the average. And a big effect that occurs with probability almost one, which is this acquiring a non-local phase between the two things. Now, to come back to the original thing, you imagine these photons went through the left side and did not collide. So their wave function didn't change. The energy changed. So how is that possible? Okay, so let me see what happens from the point of view of the photons. Or what happens from the point of view of the capacitor here. Something very interesting happens there. First of all, I know that the wave function of the photon, of the ones that go and pass, may change perhaps up to epsilon, which corresponds interacting here. If you wish, what is the energy of the capacitor? How does the capacitor exchange energy with the electron? Well, it exchanges when the electron is inside, because then the capacitor gets a back reaction. But that happens with probability zero. On the other hand, energy is conserved. Suppose that I would include the time dependence of charging this thing into a local clock, and I would want to see what is the total energy. And the total energy must be conserved. So if these objects of the electron, the energy of the electron, modulo, whatever you get here, 2 pi h over t, if they change, they must change in the photon that came. Okay? Because energy, total energy is conserved. So what happens is that if I would look at e to the I, the energy of the electron t, and e to the I, the energy of the photons time t, and e to the I, the total energy times t, I know that this one cannot change because the energy is a constant of motion. I claim that this one cannot change because the photons did not collide, apart from epsilon. But these guys change, they depend on alpha. So they went from plus to minus. This guy can change. And of course, the total energy is the sum of these two things. So this one as an operator is simply that thing. And the average of this, they are not entangled, essentially. So it is a product. If I just look in the term that collapses with the electrons to the right, this one can change while not changing the total energy, only if this guy is zero. So, the experiment is such that I need to send the photons very fast. If I send them slowly, then the electron will start moving and more of it will just leak from the left to the right. The clean thing is when I send them very fast. When you send them very fast, it so happens that the modular part of the energy is completely undefined and its average is zero. Because in fact, this object is just a translation in time of the wave function. And the translation, we need the wave function to move very quickly, to pass through the box very quickly. And essentially, e to the I energy t applied to psi, whatever, psi of the photon, psi of the photons, this one is the time evolution for psi of the photons, which immediately will become orthogonal on its initial state. So the photons, the energy of the photons actually changes in such a way that at the level of the wave function, I do not see any change. Because exactly those parts of energy change that were completely undetermined. Why do I say they are completely undetermined? Because this object, the E gamma t modulo 2 pi, is like an angle. And its average can be zero only if this angle is completely randomized. So, to finish the whole thing, we have a combined aspect. And what is important is to realize that quantum mechanics has this non-local effect. The local effect, what happened exactly in the middle, is trivial. But it's based on the fact it can have an observable effect just because of the fact that the energy is an unbounded quantity and I can change the value by making epsilon changes in the wave function. The same goes with momentum, the same goes with many quantities that are unbounded. Quantities that are bounded, that are the modular part, they are the ones that are responsible with the big observational changes. They are responsible with the complete changes in the spectrum, and they go purely non-locally. There was nothing that the capacitor did that you could see at the level of the capacitor. And in fact, there is nothing you can observe looking on the left alone or on the right alone. It is only the relative phase in between them that changes the things. And my clear belief is that this type of non-locality, which in fact was introduced in the 60s by Aharonov, is one of the basic aspects of quantum mechanics. And it pops up everywhere. Everywhere where we have a potential difference between two regions, we have effects like this associated with it. And it is non-local, but it is a completely different type of non-locality than the EPR non-locality. And unless we start looking closely into it, I think that our hope to really understand intuitively quantum mechanics is zero. Okay, thank you very much.